Bible said it's not those who hear, but those who do. Say, I got to do something. Yeah, we do. Yes, we do. We have to do something. We have to work, or we have to act on what we've heard. It's the same in every area that we have to act on what we've heard. Things do not just happen in this world just by wishing. They don't happen. The things of God that are already ours, they don't happen in our lives because we need them. Because don't you know the whole world needs Jesus? The whole world has needs, but that doesn't make them happen. Begging doesn't make these things come to pass. It is faith that brings the things from the unseen realm into this realm. And that's what we're talking about, faith and healing. We focus on those things on Wednesdays. So we are talking about healing and our words, and we've gone back and looked at these message or some of these scriptures just in preparation. I'm going to just fly over some of those. I don't have time to go back and go through a few of these. We talked about, though, and when we first said that the healing or that words are so important to healing. What we say, our words are important for every area of our life. What James says, that our words, our tongue is a rudder. So like it or not, we're setting the direction of our life with our words. And you can know that and be excited about it in church, but when we're out living our life and then we realize what we're actually saying, it's a truth that can hit you in the face. You realize what you're actually saying. It doesn't matter, you say, I believe something, but you'll be able to tell what you believe by what you say. It's true. As the Bible says, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So what you have in is going to come out. Period. It will. And if you say, well, I don't really believe that, well, maybe not in certain areas, but if you say things, you know, you're talking doubt and unbelief. It's not a matter, sometimes people go, I know I'm not supposed to say that, I won't say it. Well, take a step back and why are we saying it? Because it's not like a legalistic thing that I'm just not going to say it, but somehow work. Faith has to be in two places, in your heart and in your mouth, for it to work. So if you're just saying it, but it doesn't have any, it's not in your heart, it's not going to work. That's where people have missed it. When they, you realize this, right? People make fun of the word of faith and saying, you can have what you say, even though we'll read the scripture. I mean, the Bible says it, and it's not just in one place. It's not just in one place. It's not just like Mark 11:23. It's not. It's in more than one place, but you realize if you get on the internet, I mean, Google Kenneth E. Hagin and see what you get. You get all kinds of stuff. And people can say what they want. I don't read any of that. I know enough. I'll just go and see what the arguments are. Then it's in your head. I'm not trying to be ignorant, just like, well, shut everything else off. But at some point, you have to. At some point, you have to say the word's the word. And I don't care what everybody else says. If you're going to entertain everybody else's thoughts, you're going to be confused. And you're going to have to cast down things a lot more than you need to. Because you read something and now it's going to needle you. Well, what about that? Now you got to go and you kind of counter it. You got to counter it with the word to where you get all the way back to where you were before you read the junk. Mm-hmm. So yeah, people say all kinds of stuff. That's just, okay, fine. But the word, that's why you can't go by what Kenneth E. Hagin says or said. You have to go by what the Bible says. But people will make fun and say, well, it doesn't work. You know, you can't just say and it'll happen. Well, the Bible doesn't say you'll just say and it'll happen. It says you've got to believe it, and then you say it, and it'll happen. And the Bible said it. Brother Hagin didn't say it. No man said it. Jesus said it. He is the Word, and it's in different places. But we got to come to grips with this truth. We got to come to grips that this isn't a game that we're in. Life is not a game. Like Somebody said, this is not a rehearsal. This is the real deal. You get one shot through this life. Yep. And this is not a religious game that, well, let's go find out what the rules of this religious game are and go to church and find out, you know, how we're supposed to play the game in our circles. These are our rules. We don't say that. You know, we don't say things because that wouldn't be faith. And like, we're just going to impress each other. And it's not like that. It's for real. Whether we like it or not, and whether you, anybody, whether they believe it or not, they're governed by their words. Everybody is. And if we'll say certain things, if we'll say the right things, it'll set our life in a course. Even if it doesn't feel any different, we're still setting our life on a course. If we say the wrong things, whether we feel great at that time, it's setting our life on a course, maybe where we don't want to go. So we have to understand that this has something to do with our healing, and the condition of our body is our words. What we're saying. And if we're saying, well, I'm believing, but I just don't know why it's working, you're already saying certain things. You don't know why it's not working. I am believing, but it's the wrong thing. And sometimes unconsciously we're doing that. We have to wake up and realize, just listen to, you know, we have to listen to ourselves. And, you know, it's, we've all said wrong things, and I'm not saying I've arrived and or that anybody's arrived. I've just, this is the Bible truth, and we have to understand that this is governing our life whether we want to believe it or not. What we were just saying, I'll just read it. Romans 9, or 10, 9 and 10 says, if you will confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. So you believe in your heart. With the heart man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. So I went over some scriptures. We were just kind of getting into this then, talking about some different places where you see in the ministry or in the Gospels where God independently moved. He moved independently of man's faith. And I read those. If you didn't hear them, go back and listen to the first message, the second message. But I'll just give you the references. John 5, 1 through 4, we read about the angel that would come and stir up the water. In Mark 4, 35 through 40, we read where there was a storm and Jesus rebuked the storm and it was peaceful. And then in Matthew 14, 25 through 31, we read where Peter walked on the water and Jesus saved him when he was falling, when he was sinking. So in all those three scenarios, God acted independently. He acted without somebody's faith. There was something that, I mean, we don't understand all the ins and outs of that, and we went into that in some detail. But in the instance where the angel was troubling the water, one person would get in and they would be healed, but nobody else would. Well, the person, it didn't matter their background or anything, it didn't matter what there was wrong with them, they would be healed. That was a sovereign act of God. That's divine intervention. I'm saying all this to say, you know, in these instances, is that people are waiting sometimes for God just to do something in their life. Well, God does do certain things, but if we're waiting for that, you can't make it happen. You can't make God do it. It's not that he's playing favorites. Why certain things happen, that's for him to know. The Bible doesn't explain, or we don't understand all those things. What we can understand is what the Bible talks about. It always talks about that you can have faith and you can get results by faith. That's what we need to focus on. And some people, they say they're in faith, but they're actually waiting for God to intervene. And the fact is, those things don't happen often. And we're going to get into some other aspects about that. Even if they did, you still got to have faith after the fact if you're going to walk in some things. But then in the instance where Jesus rebuked the storm, the disciples, they were cowering. They were waking Jesus up. They were scared. So Jesus didn't do it in response to their faith. He did it. He said they were going to go to the other side. They didn't believe him, or they could have been in faith, but they weren't. And so he stepped in and did that. And when he said, Peter, come on the water, and he walked on the water, but then he looked at the waves and he started sinking. Jesus reached out and saved him. Well, you already see Peter sinking, And he's like, Lord, save me. And Jesus did, but that wasn't an act of faith. He didn't move because of Peter's faith. He did it out of his kindness. But Peter is already sinking. And that's a lot of times where we're just like, Lord, save me. And people are crying. I'm not, it's sincere, but it's acting as if God somehow is withholding. And if you cry, then he'll want to move. And that's not the case. God wants us to walk in health right now. That's why he sent Jesus. That's why Jesus paid for it. So people are like, well, why doesn't God hear me? Well, it's a misunderstanding. God has heard you. That's why he sent Jesus. He heard you before you were ever born. He already made provision. We have to find out what has been made ours, and then we have to act on it. We have to take it by faith. Faith is the hand that receives from the unseen realm, brings it into this realm. We have things that are already ours. Jesus bought and paid for them, but they're not here on earth. They're not necessarily materialized. The way you bring it into this realm is faith. So people say, well, Jesus did it all. Yeah, but the way you receive what Jesus did is by faith. He already saved. Do you realize he already paid for the whole world to be saved? It's already paid. He's not going to die again. How do people receive it? They got to believe Jesus. That's how they receive the gift of salvation. That's how it becomes, their spirit becomes born again. But it's there. It's paid for. Well, people say, well, Jesus, I'm just going to let Jesus do it. Well, this is where people will get messed up. Because here's the logical, if you follow it logically, this is where it leads. If it's all up to God, then anything that does or does not happen in my life is God. Well, if he's not healing me, if I'm not healed, it's God. God's not healing me. And see, ultimately, some people think everything that happens is God. And so, you know, it's God's sovereign, so everything that does or does not happen is God, regardless of who's involved, any negligence involved. You know, somebody didn't stop at a stop sign and then they got taken out. It was God that took them. No, it could have been easily human error. Well, that was God controlling it. Well, then we don't have anything to do with anything. No, it's not true, because we know it from the Bible. It's not true. But again, if we get to the place where we think, well, God, I'm just crying out to you, and it's all in God's time, and it's just by the grace of God, and Jesus has provided, and I'm just going to wait, then whatever happens or does not happen is God. Do you know what this leads to? It means that I don't have anything to do with it. Now, I understand where some people are coming from. If you've gone to the other extreme and you feel like every little thing you have to do and it's all up to you, you are carrying the load of your salvation, of walking it out, and it's crippling because men aren't made to take that. So people have been way over here where they've been taught legalism, and you know, you get out of line one little bit and you're not going to receive anything because God is just, I mean, it's got to be perfect. Well, you get over there, that will crush you over time. That's why people have run away from God when they're under that. And they think God is basically against them, looking for them to get out of line, or they have to measure up, and it's just not merciful and good. That over time, people, they just want to run away from God, and they can't bear up under that. The Bible says, you who want to be under the law, do you not read the law? I mean, do you understand what you're saying? And they're talking about, you can't earn your salvation. You can't make yourself good. And if you think you have to do everything perfect in life for God to move, you're going to be crushed. And so you want to get out from under that yoke. Well, what people do and have done, and very much in the last decade have done, is they've heard faith, a lot of faith people, because we heard faith in the 70s and 80s and the 90s, the teaching, you know, revival, and they heard faith and everybody's excited about it, but after a while they haven't seen certain things happen. And so then they start being like, well, it's just me, and I'm not doing it. And if they're not looking at it right, they start to take the pressure, and they start to be in condemnation. And instead of believing God, they look at what they see, and they don't see it. And so then they say, I don't have it, and I must be doing something wrong. And it's just, forget it. And then people have started to chuck faith. And then what they've run to, people have preached on grace, but there is a balance. There's a good thing with the grace of God is marvelous, and there's a place for that. But what has happened is that people took that, and a lot of people that were around faith, because they felt beat down, because they felt like it's too much, and it is too much if you're looking at it wrong, they start saying, it's not up to me, it's by the grace of God, and there's a truth there. And really, part of that is, I mean, I think there's been a somewhat of an emphasis to balance, but it's gone too far, and it has for a long time, because what people, they've been under condemnation because of a misunderstanding of faith. So then when they start feeling like, oh, it's not up to me, you mean God's merciful, he's gracious? Well, he's always been merciful and gracious. He's always been good. But they start to feel like that, and I understand where they're coming from, and it's like this weight off and this breath of fresh air. It's like, I can breathe. Oh, my gosh, I don't have to do everything right every day. Oh, if I mess up, the forgiveness is there. Well, it's always been there. If you would have listened, some people may have taught certain things hard, but there's always been the grace of God. The grace of God, that's how we're saved. That's how you're going to walk. But here's where, I'm talking in relation to healing, exactly what we're talking, because we're talking about our words, and I'm fully aware you can say, well, that's something I have to do. Yes, it's something we should do. We have to. The Bible governs, our life is governed by our words. We can try to talk it away, we can try to teach it away, but we can't unteach the Bible, and it's not going to work. This is what we have to understand. So people have felt like, I'm free, and I feel like I can live life, and I have this freedom, and I don't feel like it's all up to me. Well, it never was up to you. That's a good revelation. But then they don't stop there. They keep going to where it does. You know, thank God for Jesus. It's all been paid for by Jesus, and it's not anything I do. It's all what Jesus did. They start going too far. If you mean that in a certain way, it's okay. But what we do is you start to go too far over here to where it's all Jesus. Well, where does that lead if it's all Jesus? That means everything in your life right now, well, it's Jesus did it. All the exercise I didn't do, it was Jesus. I didn't. I mean, it was Jesus that did it. You know, he dictated all that. All the stuff, all the food that I ate, it's Jesus. All the hours I didn't work or did work, it's Jesus did it. It's all Jesus. No, it's not. See, that's going over here. That's saying everything's divine intervention. That sounds like a lot like what will be. You guys with me or not? I'm not. We're touching on this because this is very central to what we're talking about with the words. If we are stuck over here thinking, thank God that Jesus did it all. Well, he did it. How do we receive it? See, that hasn't changed. See, faith is not going to go away. You're saved by faith. You're saved by grace through faith. By grace through what? Faith. It's impossible to please God without what? Faith. See, grace is what Jesus did for us. You couldn't do it. How you receive what Jesus did is faith. Now, you couldn't make happen what Jesus did. You couldn't do it. I couldn't do it. I can't heal myself. I can't save myself. But that's his part. What's my part? I got to believe what he did. And see, when we go to where it doesn't matter what I do or don't do, it's all okay because I'll be blessed. We're in error. And then people are frustrated. And you know where this will ultimately lead. It'll feel good for a while, but you know where it leads? If something then isn't happening in your life and you believe it's all Jesus, whose fault is it? Jesus. It's Jesus' fault. And you know what people do? They get mad at Jesus, whether they want to admit it or not. They'll start going, why God, where is it? I thought it was all you. Well, that's the problem. That's the problem. It's a misbelief. It's error. I can go live like the devil, and it's not going to affect my life. No, that's not true. You're going to open up the doorway to the enemy to work in your body. Well, but I don't want to hear that. That's like I have something to do with it. You do have something to do with it. We can't run away from it. But the good news is the grace of God is sufficient and will help us and will give us strength to walk through anything. And if we'll rely on Him, believe, not in our own strength, we receive the Word, we look at the Word, faith comes and we do something with it, then we can have what He's promised in this realm. A lot of what dictates this is our words. So, yes, God does move independently at times, but if we're going to wait for that, we could be waiting until we're done, we're dead. And I don't want to see Jesus sooner than I'm supposed to see Him. I don't know about you. There's not a set time that I'm going to die or you're going to die. People have misconstrued that. It is set for every person to die. Everybody's going to die. That doesn't mean there's a day and a time and that's your time's up. Boom. No. It's a lot. We have a whole lot to do with it in our decisions, but we read last time then some examples Brother Hagin tells of a few different several different accounts. I think for the sake of the people that didn't hear him, I'm just going to run through them because I can read them pretty quick. I'm just going to read in his words because why paraphrase anyway? I'm not going to get it right. But there's three instances here, and then I'm going to go, I believe, a little bit further into this. But there's three instances of three women that all had cancer, and they had three different results. Things that happen. And this illustrates if we're waiting for God to intervene or what we do, if let's say we have a condition in our body, how we can react. So I'm just going to read these, not too much here, and then we're going to go on a little bit further. So here, the first one, Brother Hagin says, I remember a dear lady who was bedfast with terminal cancer. Medical science did all they could do for her, and then they gave her up to die. This lady was not a member of the church where I was preaching, but the pastor had visited her, and she told him she wanted me to come and pray for her. I went with the pastor to visit her. As always, I looked to the Lord to see if He would initiate or say something. He didn't say anything. I didn't have any kind of manifestation of the Spirit. So what he's saying is there wasn't a quickening of the Spirit. There wasn't a gift of the Spirit to do something specific. Okay, some people try to make that up, and it's not going to work if you make it up. It's as the Spirit wills. You can say, thus saith the Lord, and doesn't make it God. Either God is doing something or He's not. These aren't toys. The gifts of the Spirit are not toys, and we can't control them. We can yield to them. You can't turn them on and off. It's not a performance. I went with the pastor to visit her. Okay, I'm going to read this part again. As always, I looked to the Lord to see if He would initiate or say something. So Brother Hagin's going in. Lord, you got something specific? Looking inside. Nothing. Didn't say anything. Didn't have any kind of manifestation of the Spirit. Well, what do you do if the Lord doesn't initiate something? You give people the Word of God. See, we can always act on the Word. See, some people put more emphasis on something that they consider spectacular when they're missing supernatural. The Word of God going into us and us acting, we can always act on it. So you give people the Word of God, you put the Word into them in order to get them to believe God, because faith comes by hearing. And if you can get them to believe God, then you can agree with them. So you can't agree with somebody if they don't believe that they're going to be healed. You can't agree with, well, agree with me that I'll be healed. Well, what are you believing? Well, I'm just hoping I'm going to be healed. Well, there's no agreement. I can't agree with you. What can you believe? Let's get down to what you can believe and then let's agree. Let's be honest with ourselves. So that's what I began to do with this lady who was dying of cancer. I began to give her the word so she would, that she could believe and be healed. Notice the potential. He's given her the word so that the potential is there. It's just like if you preach to people that aren't saved. You know, if you preach the gospel, preach salvation, the potential is there for the people to be born again. But God's not twisting anybody's arm. They have to do something. They have to believe with their heart. They have to confess with their mouth. So I began to give her the word so she could believe and be healed. But she wasn't interested in believing the word of God. She was convinced that there was a person somewhere who was going to heal her. I told her, "I'm sorry to disappoint you, sister, but there is no one anywhere who can heal you or anyone else. No person can do it." She said, "Well, I'll just lie here and hope that there will be." I said, "You will die in hope then." And I'm sad to say that she did die. Now, there's another account. He said, "I knew another woman who was bedfast and dying with terminal cancer." Okay? She had deteriorated to the point that she couldn't even feed herself, much less get up out of bed. As we prayed together, there was a manifestation of the Spirit. In other words, the Lord initiated something. So same thing, praying beforehand. The Lord said something. The Holy Spirit initiated something. It was a gift of the Spirit in operation. Now, please understand this. I cannot initiate manifestation of the Spirit. I am not God. But as I prayed for this woman, I heard the Lord speak to me and tell me to do something. So I did what he said to do. I went to the head of the bed and I said, "Come out, you spirit of doubt and fear, in the name of Jesus." So you can't just do that. See, he had a manifestation of the Spirit in what to say and do. The woman rose up, shouting, and jumped out of bed. She went from not being able to get out of bed to being instantly healed. She went out in the backyard and sat down and ate watermelon with us that very afternoon. Glory to God. The Lord initiated something on his own that day. Now, I'd be a fool to tell everyone who had cancer that that's the way healing is ministered. I'd be a fool to tell people, "I found out how to get people healed. Just cast the spirit of doubt and fear out of every one of them." No, that may not be the problem with everyone. So this lady was healed. So then he says, "I knew another woman who had been diagnosed with terminal cancer and was told by her doctor that medical science had done all they could do for her. When I went to pray for her, there wasn't any manifestation of the Spirit. The Spirit didn't say anything to me. What did I do? I did the same thing I tried to do with the first woman who was dying. I gave her the word." Do you know that people don't necessarily want to hear the word? Really? People would much, they think, let me tell you, they think they would much rather have an instantaneous manifestation of the Spirit. "Buddy, just give me the word, okay, I've heard that." I've heard it. I know that. Tell me something I don't know. It's a problem right there. If it's God's word, and we say, "Well, I know that, but," we don't believe it. What if you said, "You know, I haven't been saved. Somebody's not been saved." Well, Jesus has, he died for your sin. Confess him. I know that, but I haven't been saved yet. We haven't acted on it, but I know that. I've heard it. That is not how it happens. That's not how you get saved. So no, we can't go by, "Well, I've heard it." See, that's where a lot of people are. "Well, I've heard it. This is where we got before. I've heard that. It's not working, so I need something else." So then something comes and like, "Well, maybe it's that." You know, and then I guess the answer is I don't have to do anything. Well, part of it is probably we need to, probably could rely on God more. Probably there's times when we feel like we're taking too much of the burden. Okay. But we don't go all the way to say God's going to do it all. That's not going to help. So he says, when I went to pray further, there wasn't any manifestation of the Spirit. The Spirit of God didn't say anything to me. What did I do? I did the same thing I tried to do with the first woman who was dying. I gave her the word. But unlike the first woman, this woman decided she would not, or that she would, put God's word into practice for herself. She received the word as I gave it to her and began to speak it. And do you know what happened? The same doctors who diagnosed her could not find any cancer in her body. It had disappeared. She was healed by hearing and speaking God's word. Years later, I went back and preached in that woman's home church. Even then, the doctors still couldn't find anything wrong with her. When the cancer disappeared, the doctors told her that if it didn't recur after a certain number of years, she would be home free. And about the same time I revisited her church, the doctors told her, that's it, you're home free, that cancer won't ever occur again. He didn't lay hands on her and pray for her to be healed. It was her faith in God's word that made her whole. So you have one person, and remember, they all had terminal cancer. Maybe they were different types, it doesn't say, but they were terminal. The one person, there's no manifestation of the Spirit. It means God did not do anything independently. The word was given to them. They said, but I'm waiting for somebody to pray for me. And they didn't get it. The second person, there was a manifestation of the Spirit. The person got healed by that. The third one was given the word, but this person decided to act on the word and say, that's mine. I believe it. I'm going to act on it. I'm going to speak it. And they were healed. See, we have to claim God's provision by faith. But faith has to be released through our mouths. Mark 11:23 says, if you say to the mountain, be removed and be cast in the sea, do not doubt in your heart, but believe those things that you say shall come to pass, you shall have whatever you say. We have to release it by saying. We say, I'm going to believe. Something happens when you say. Why? Because we have authority over our lives. We have authority over our lives. See, people can say words, and they can try to say all kinds of things about you, but it's what you say that's going to go. You don't got to worry about somebody speaking the wrong words over you. People are way too concerned about that. Yes, of course, if you're a parent, you're saying the wrong words over your children, they hear it. That's just a different dynamic. Yes, they're hearing it. That's not good. I'm saying as an adult, somebody telling you, well, I don't know if that's going to happen for you, you don't have to correct them. You have to go, oh, don't say that around me. Don't confess that about me. It doesn't matter. You know, it doesn't matter unless you think it matters. And when you start thinking it matters and you get afraid, then it matters. But nobody can do anything to you, override your words. I don't care who it is. I don't care what they call themselves. They can't curse you. People get all, oh, somebody's going to curse somebody. If they know what's going on, it doesn't matter. You can curse me all day long. Get all your friends to curse me. You cannot curse what God has blessed. The Bible says we're blessed. Huh? We're blessed, so then somebody's going to say something, and oh, now I'm cursed. No, you're not. Not unless you believe it. See, that's how the devil's power works. It works by fear. Witch doctors and things, that's how it works, is because people fear. And there are spirits, and there are other stuff, but it doesn't have any authority over a child of God. But our words are important. A couple minutes. I'm just going to read these. I'm just going to read some of these, and then maybe we'll get into them next time. But we said we have to release our faith by the words we speak. We have authority in our lives, and we release it by our words. What we decree, what we say out of our mouth, makes a difference in our lives because we have authority over our lives. What I say over your life doesn't have power in your life unless you allow it to have power in your life. But if you say one thing and your neighbor says something bad about you and you're saying something good, what you say is going to go every time. The other person, what they say is not going to... You don't have to be afraid what people are saying about you. You need to be sure that you're saying what God says. But Proverbs 18:21 says, death and life are in the power of the tongue. And they that love it will eat its fruit. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. Instead of saying death and life, you can say sickness and disease and healing and health are in the power of the tongue. What happens in your body, healing and health or sickness and disease? It's in the power of your tongue. What we decree is in the power of our tongue. Matthew 12:37 says, for by your words you shall be justified, and by your words you shall be condemned. That our words are important. Proverbs 21:23 says, whoever keeps his mouth and his tongue keeps his soul from troubles. So this verse implies we create our own problems with our mouth. And it's easier to believe that everybody else is creating your own problem or your problems, isn't it? It's somebody else's fault. But the fact is, the Bible says that these things we just read, you know, life and death are in the power of the tongue. Bible says we'll be condemned by the words of our mouth or justified. It says he who keeps his mouth and his tongue keeps his soul from troubles. See, it's Mark 11:23 is not the only verse that talks about the tongue. You know, James talks about that your tongue is a rudder. It's like a rudder. It's like a bit you put in a horse's mouth. It determines the direction of your life. I don't know how it could be much more clear than that. And it is. Proverbs 12:18 says, there is he that speaks like the piercings of a sword, but the tongue of the wise is health. The tongue of the wise is health because the tongue of the wise will say the right things. The wisdom of God. The tongue of the wise is going, the true wise, you know, God's wisdom is going to speak the right thing, the correct thing. You're going to either produce sickness or health with your tongue. They go together. You're going to produce sickness with your tongue or health. We dictate based on what we're saying. It's not just quote unquote believing, but it is saying. We release our faith by the words of our mouth. Bible says we believe in our heart and we speak it, we confess it with our mouth. If that's true with salvation, see, you confess Romans 9:10 like we read before. That you believe in your heart, but confession is made unto salvation. Well, confession is made to healing. Confession is made to prosperity. Now you agree with it, you walk in it, but you are saying, see, all these verses we just read, your tongue is determining the direction. Your tongue is determining what's going to happen in our lives. We have authority what we speak. As we say, we are releasing the power of God into our situation. We're giving God authority to work. We're taking what He has provided and we're bringing it into this realm. That's why the devil works to corrupt our mouths and to get us to speak the wrong words. Get us to condemn ourselves. Get us to say it won't work. Get us to say, I don't, you know, I feel worse today. I feel bad. I don't know how, I'm stupid. I don't know how it's ever going to work. I just don't ever understand. When we do this, doubt rises up and it just binds us. It changes the atmosphere of the room. Why? Because they're powerful. Words are powerful. Words mean things, and they are so important when it comes to healing. Amen. Amen. We believe it. Release our faith. Praise God.